on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Welcome to 2026. New calendar year has flipped, and that means it's go time for Coyote Sports here for the second half of the academic year. Coyote basketball getting into conference play. Of course, we'll see track and field fire up and tennis and softball before we know it, and everything else will be going as well. So gear up, because we've got a lot of events coming up here over the next several weeks, and a lot of events to track on goyotes.com or however you follow Coyote Athletics. Right now, I know there's a lot of eyes on the transfer portal for football, because that has been very active since the beginning of January. We're about a week into it, and it's going to continue here for about another week. The window to enter the transfer portal will officially close on January 16th. So there are obviously some extensions, some window extension type of things, like a special 5-day extension for players whose teams reach the college football title game. Graduate transfers, all others must follow the same dates. They have a new 15-day window triggered by coaching changes after January 2nd. So some of that can still change, but the main portal window officially closes on January 16th. So at that point, no new players can enter the transfer portal. There's no rule on when you have to get out of the portal. It's just on when you can enter the old transfer portal. And every school's going to see it. Every school is going to get transfers. Every school is going to see transfers depart. And that's just the way it is. It's the new world of college football that we live in. And that's where we wanted to focus our energy for this week's episode of the YokeCast podcast. Who knows the transfer portal better than Josh Rosenthal, the general manager for Coyote football? He spends a lot of hours searching through the portal and evaluating the team and, you know, discussions and meetings and stuff to figure out where the Coyotes need to go to continue to make these playoff runs and hopefully one day make it further and further. And obviously the ultimate goal is a national championship. So this week I sat down with Josh Rosenthal and we talked all things portal.
Josh, Coyote football coming off another very successful season, man. The last 3 years, we've just continued to see the program grow and fight through a lot of things. And I know the goal is to go even further. But what has, in your experience here, obviously your role has grown. What have you seen out of the growth of this program over the last several years?
I think the biggest thing is just the consistency in the players, having the exact same mindset of understanding what the goals are and, more importantly, what it takes to achieve those goals. A lot of that starts, obviously, in the recruiting process, of being able to understand who they are, where they come from. But, you know, the number one thing is our staff and the continuity of our staff. There's always going to be change that happens with that, but the mindset and the overall goal stays the same, and our players see that, and that's been the biggest part of it for sure.
You know, you go through a season, and everybody at this point, you know, with the today's college football world, everybody's you get done with 1 year, and everybody's like, man, who's going to be on our team next year, and what's it going to look like? What has the last couple of years been like? The transfer portal situation is blown up, the NIL, things like that. How do you try to adapt to that? And obviously, there's always going to be some disappointments, but you got to embrace it if you're going to have success.
There's no question. The word I would say is fluid. The moment you think you understand it or have an idea of how it should be, it's going to change. And it's been a process that, you stated it correctly, there's nothing that you can get upset or feel stubborn about. You have to be able to find a way to be better and to move forward with it. So it's been one of those things that, for all of us to be open-minded and understand that what we are doing is positive and it's contributing to success, is really important. But we also have to be open to new ideas and how we're going to take what the rules are now and what the landscape of college football is and be able to adapt to that. And that's been a main reason why we've been successful, because everyone around the country has to face change, whether it's in football or outside in the real world. It's no different for us. So we're going to be able to take take that and take stride and move forward with it.
Your role here is the general manager and NFL liaison, which you've pretty much done for several years, maybe a different title, but you've been a lot heavily involved in player personnel. How did you get involved in that direction in the coaching staff, and why do you embrace it?
Well, for me, I started out as a wide receivers and special teams guy, and I figured really quick for a guy who never played wide receiver, that path probably wasn't going to be the one that I could sustain. I always enjoyed the personnel and recruiting side, and like anything in life for everyone, you find things that you feel and have success in, and you go down that path. You know, in college, I was an education major, so the teaching aspect and building relationships and being able to show a pattern and goal, and that rolled right into the personnel side of evaluations and also being able to paint a picture for guys. So for me, it was pretty simple. I knew that my wide receiver world was only going to go so far, and the player personnel side was something that was really exciting for me and wanted to move forward with. So with that, you know, sure, times have changed with the roles and responsibilities, but it's always stayed the same. It's always been about finding great players that are going to fit what we do here at South Dakota, and also what are going to make us successful, because at the end of the day, it is about people. It's not about anything else. We are always going to take the better person over the better athlete, because we need guys that are going to be on the same page with all 11 on the field and are going to listen to the coaching staff and listen to their teammates, and that's how you breed success, and that's how you build confidence with a program.
A lot of momentum with this program right now. How has that impacted recruiting? Obviously, you want to build that base with freshmen coming in, but there's always going to be the transfer portal guys as well. We get guys now from all over the country. I'm sure some never dreamed of going through the state of South Dakota, but how has the recent success impacted what you do?
There's no question about it. Winning makes everything easier in life. We can see that not only from a fan base, not only from contributions from our donors, but even more so in recruiting. And it just shows that, yes, like you mentioned, not many guys probably know of where the state of South Dakota is or have traveled through it, but there's a real product here that is not only successful, but breeds success at the next level in the NFL. It makes it much better for us. There's no doubt about it, because when you win, you show, like, this is what we're able to do on a consistent basis. But again, it goes back to the people. I'm not trying to keep harping on that, but when they get here, they understand that Vermillion is a great town, and the people here that support you are great, and the players that we have in the locker room are equally as great. So it makes it something that's fun to be a part of, and they don't want to miss out on that opportunity at all.
Josh Rosenthal, our guest, he's the GM of Kyo Football. Josh, as you go through this time period, obviously, this transfer portal window is open where players can enter the transfer portal currently. How does that evaluation process work for you and for this program? I mean, you're evaluating all season long to find out where maybe there's some, inefficiencies or a lack of depth in certain areas and places, the areas that you want to get better. How does that process work throughout the course of the season?
You know, it starts in the summertime. You got to, number one, look at your roster, understand who you're going to graduate. I think that's one of the things that our entire staff is really proud of. The last 3 years, we've had 20-plus seniors graduate from this program, and that means you're doing the right things, because, as you mentioned before, you know, it starts with high school recruiting, and you know that you're able to get those guys all the way through is the number one goal, because these guys still have to go to class and they still have to earn a degree, which is the most important part. So you start there, you start understanding that, okay, I've got X amount of seniors in this room here. How many of those are going to be filled with high school recruits? How many of those guys do we need to have with the transfer portal? So that's where it first goes in. Then as the season goes on, you have to always, number one, you have to be recruiting your own roster. You have to understand that the world we live in, it gives players the opportunity to maybe venture out and find a different place to go. So through conversations with your own players, you have a good understanding of maybe what's going to happen or maybe where their mindset is. So then that adds into it. So you take what you know you're naturally going to lose because of graduation, and then you go on the next step of recruiting your own team and understanding that, okay, this spot here, I may have to fill. This spot here, I may have to fill. And those are always question marks. Those are a light pencil mark compared to an ink mark of a senior that you're going to put in. But you have to be aware of that. And then from that time, you start looking at the process of how you're going to evaluate and recruit. And that starts with the person again. You're going to be talking to the former staff of where they're coming from, high school coaches, so you have a full understanding. And then the visit's the biggest part, because when they're around you and around the players, you have a real understanding of who they are. And how they're going to fit, because at the end of the day, South Dakota is unique. We're not a major metropolitan area, and if the kids do not love football and do not love dedicating themselves to the process that it takes to be great, this is not going to be a fit for them. And I do feel that we've done a phenomenal job in that, of being able to fulfill that.
It's no secret that a lot of these athletes who may have the opportunity to, you know, explore their options, they're not getting contacted after the season is over. They're getting contacted throughout the course of the season, and some of that. I'm sure it depends on the athlete. Do these athletes bring that to you and have those conversations, or do you kind of gain your knowledge of where there might be some holes that you have to fill just based on on-field performance?
You know, John, I've never heard of that before. I appreciate you bringing that. You know, I've never known of people reaching out or contacting guys. No. Our players will say it. And you know, the reality is, again, it goes back to one of the first things we talked about. It's part of it. And it's going to happen. And what does that mean at the end of the day? It means that we're doing something right. It means that we're developing these young men in the correct way. And it means that they're producing on the field. And if that's happening, it's a good problem to have. Let's just be honest about it. And some people can gripe about it and, you know, sulk about it. But the reality is, you have to embrace it in a really positive way. And again, that breeds more conversation with those players. And yes, they do come to us and they say that, you know, XYZ may have happened, you know, which obviously we don't ever believe, because nobody does that to break rules. But the reality is, you have those conversations. And that goes back to the last question of, if that is something that piques an interest of a young man, okay, then maybe we have to talk further with them and dig deeper and find out what really is important to them. And sometimes it results in them leaving and finding what they feel is greener pasture. But the reality is, that's part of the world we live in, and that's part of the relationships that we are able to have. And I think that the most important part with that is that if the kids did not feel comfortable with us as a staff, they would not open up to us. And then all of a sudden, you'd be blindsided by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it may be, of guys saying they want to leave. So it's a real thing. And it's something that is just part of it, and you move forward and we all grow from it. And really, it gives you a better idea of what's going on and where you're going to be.
I'm sure it goes on throughout the course of the season, but staff meetings obviously happen all the time, and I'm sure there's always a conversation about who to keep an eye out for, things like that. How much of it, as you get ready for portal season, if you will, is you finding guys that may be a fit, and how much of it is, you know, staff members, the other coaches, who maybe have background with some players that they think might come available or they know are coming available, and mesh that together to figure out who the right people are to bring in here?
No, it's a group effort. There's no question about it. It's not just one person doing it. Obviously, with my role, I try to drum up as much business for us as possible in that world. But more important than anything, it is our staff as a whole. We are talking constantly, and that's during the season and obviously in this wonderful time that we call the portal season. But it does go back to relationships. If you have a prior relationship, or if we've recruited a young man before, that's a huge part of it, because again, you have a couple boxes checked of knowing who they are and what their DNA makeup is. So it's not just one person, it is a group, and it just bounces off ideas off of everybody, and it creates healthy conversation and debate a lot of times, because not everyone's in full agreement on who that person should be that we should or shouldn't go after. But that's the benefit of having a great staff that is super connected, and Coach Johansson does a phenomenal job of breeding that environment for our staff to not be nervous and sheltered, to be able to voice an opinion and to be able to stand on the table for a young man.
Try to explain the portal to me. This thing pops open and names just start popping into this thing and populating. Obviously, when you think about bringing in players, you want to see film on them. Is that accessible through the portal? How does this work in your world?
It's how we put this. It's chaos, you know, in a nutshell, but it's controlled chaos. You know, the film portion of things, today everyone's got film. Everyone's got practice tape. There's a multitude of different sites that you can use to view film, to watch game film. That's never an issue to be able to get to, but it's something that, you know, you have to have a plan. You have to have a strong idea of how to attack it, because otherwise it will consume you. With the number of athletes that are in the portal and that go in, if you just say, okay, I'm going to pick one or two areas and watch everybody, you're going to get lost. So you have to have a really, really definitive plan and idea of how you want to attack that. And there's always going to be change to that. But as a group, again, starts with Coach Johansson and rolls down to the rest of us of how we're going to go through that. And the evaluation process does not change from how we do anything, from making a hire on our staff to bringing in a young man. It's going to start with the background. It's going to move to the tape. And then it's going to be visiting us, being on campus, and being one-on-one to be able to find out who that young man is, what his background is, from mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, whatever it may be, because all that plays a role with who you're bringing in.
You know, you go through the portal and you make decisions on who to bring in here. Obviously, you want to get the best guys. You want that. Coach Johansson wants that. The whole staff does. At some point, there's a cutoff line of some guys that you're just not realistically probably going to get. How do you try to decipher that, trying to reach the best guys you could possibly get, but not waste time, essentially, on guys that you have no chance at?
Yeah, that starts at the beginning, right? You have to have a good understanding of what that kid wants and what that kid's looking for, and not trying to chase your tail on the pretty girl in the room all the time, because the one thing that we have consistently shown and do here at South Dakota is develop. So there is zero concern about coaches being able to take a young man and turn him into a great player. We could go through a laundry list of guys over the last 5 years that I've been here that we've done that with. So it's confidence in ourselves to be able to find, does this young man fit the mold of who we are as a football program? Awesome. If he does, then we're going to move forward. And being able to not waste time, that happens in the first phone call, or just being able to understand who that young man is through text messages and DMs.
Obviously, one of the ways to get people in your program is comes down to money, right? And there are big programs, and we've seen articles that talk about each position and what it might take to build a football roster. Very different at our level. How do you figure in some of that with NIL, house settlement, however you want to call it, to some of these players? I mean, we can't have a giant pool, but obviously you want to entice some of our players, and I think that goes back to what you're saying, recruiting our own roster.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's part of the world we live in. The number one thing that we have to show more than money is that we win. End of the day, we win, and we play in the best conference in FCS. There's no debate about that. So you're selling the product of winning, being in a phenomenal conference, and playing on Sundays, because with that, we put our guys into the NFL, and that's the biggest selling point we have. And of course, the NIL world of money, rev share, NIL, that is part of it, and we have the opportunity to provide that for young men, but it's not about that. If a young man is money based, this is not going to ever be the program for them. It does not mean that we are not able to help our guys out and make them comfortable, but at the end of the day, you have to want to win and want to play on Sundays to be here. And if that's not something that's of interest to them, it goes back to the first couple questions. We're going to move on from them because they're not going to be ready to go. We don't have a single guy on this team that is money hungry, money based. And we could go through a laundry list of guys that could fit that tier of category that you're talking about of the price to get a guy. And those guys pick us over that. And that's, you know, honestly, that's around our conference. And that's something that's beautiful about the Missouri Valley, is because a lot of the guys understand that I don't need to get a logo or a level status to fulfill my cup. I know that I'm going to be developed, I'm going to win, I'm going to play at the best level, and I'm going to play on Sundays. So that's the biggest selling point at the end of the day.
All right, so you go through the portal, you pick your targets, you pick guys that you want to bring in for a visit. What does that look like? Obviously, you book their travel, they come in for maybe a day or two, whatever it is. What does that time period look like as you try to lock them down?
It's speed dating on steroids. You are moving as fast as possible to do it because everyone's up against the clock. You know, school starts in the middle of January for almost every school in the country. And all these kids know that they're leaving one institution and going to another. It is wild, 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 to put it in the easiest terms. So you have to be very quick. And that goes back to having a prior relationship with the young man. Because if you have that, you already have a box checked. And then it's figuring out, okay, when can mom and dad join you? When can grandma and grandpa join you? Awesome, let's get you on the next flame smoking out of your area and get you here to town. So there is no wasted time. It starts at 5 a.m. and ends whenever you're done. There is no timetable. Nobody is working on banker's hours during this period of time. So you are moving and grooving and really having your phone on a charger at all times, because texting, emailing, phone calls is a constant, you know. And you know, just on a side note, biggest shout out to our compliance department, because they do a phenomenal job of helping us, and our academic team right there with us. The support that we have from them makes everything easier, because again, number one, all these young men are here to get an education and to play football second. So that team does a great job of making sure we are in line and that the guys that we're bringing in are able to accomplish what they want academically as well.
Your goal when they come in for a visit, get a commitment before they leave the building, maybe. Is there anything right now that locks them in to a commitment to the University of South Dakota once you get that commitment?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that locks them in for us is when they come in and I get to meet them at the front door and they see my physique. I think that's something they're like, okay, if this guy looks like this, I know what I'm going to look like after I get done with working with Coach Traver. No, on an honest note, it's really just us as people, and that's anywhere in the country, right? But it's, they understand of that we're genuine, and they understand that we're going to develop them and we have their best interest. The parents understand that we're going to take care of them, that if there are issues, because we all face them, right? There's good days, bad days, but the reality is, on the bad days, who can you lean on? Who can you really go talk to? And that doesn't matter if it's a personal relationship, something at home, academics, or even playing. Every young man's going to be able to face that. And I think that all of our guys, you could ask our current roster or the guys that are coming in and saying they want to be a part of this, they all would say the same thing, is those coaches cared about me. Those coaches cared about who I was as a person more than anything else. Because at the end of the day, like, of course, we all want wins. We all want rings. We all want titles. But how we can build these young men to be better men when they leave this program, because football will end for all of them at some point, whether it's after they're done collegiately or 15 years in the NFL. It's got to end at some point. And those lessons and life experiences are more important than that. And that's really the biggest thing. As they come in, they see that we're genuine people that care about them as humans, not just as chess pieces.
Is there any kind of contract, or is it simply getting them enrolled in classes at USD?
Yeah, it's a letter of intent, and that's the biggest part, right? So they're signing their letter of intent to go to school and play football here, and then the process, like you mentioned, of getting them signed up for academic courses starts immediately. And that's the thing, because all of us here start mid-January, so it's once you're in, the next thing is, okay, let's get you signed up for classes, get you set up for housing, all those pieces down the line. So it's a really, really fast process that goes on.
One of the other parts of your job is NFL liaison, and I don't know if our fans see this as much. I've seen it a lot being at practice, but in your time here, the number of scouts from NFL teams has continued to grow, and it seems like we get about every NFL team at some point to come through and at least watch one practice. Some of them come back for multiple practices. Obviously, that's important. You talked about trying to get guys to the NFL. We've had that success of seeing guys get their opportunities. How does that grow grow and, you know, continue to see those scouts come through here to give opportunities to our guys?
Yeah, number one, it's the players, right? Like, we win, the players are successful, and then when they get to the NFL, they're successful as well. So that's the number one thing. When you produce a product that is beneficial for those organizations in the NFL, they're going to keep coming back. You know, and with that is building the relationship with them. Constant contact with all 32 NFL teams is a big part of it as well, and always having open doors. We have a wide open door policy with all the NFL teams that they know that any day that they want to come out and view practice, sit down with myself or our staff, they have that opportunity. And that's been something that, you know, myself really dedicated to building that relationship, because again, this world of football is about that R word. It's relationships more than anything else. It doesn't matter from coaching to player to NFL. It's all about relationship and trust. And they understand that what we are telling them about our guys proves to be correct when they get to Sunday. We're not hiding anything. We're not holding anything back. We tell them the good, the bad, and the ugly. And they know the exact product that they're going to get. And that's why we've had a lot of success. And these teams keep coming back to not just us, but everyone in the conference, because they know this level of ball is real. They know that this is not a patty cake league, and real football players come out of this league and produce. We could go through the NFL list. It's crazy. The number of Missouri Valley kids that are successful and remotely South Dakota guys that are really successful is really high, and it's been awesome. We have Super Bowl champs, back-to-back guys with Jack Cochran, Cam Klein, Miles Harden as a starter, just to name a few as of recent, you know. But that's the biggest part. It's relationships and the product that the players are producing.
Last thing for you. People might hear this and say, okay, this guy's really busy right now. He's going through the portal, doing all that, trying to put recruiting together. So you get to the fall game day. What's your responsibilities on game day in addition to officiating quality control?
You know, game day is helping out where I'm needed. You know, I have the opportunity to help out with the guys and personnel and making sure guys are out there when they're supposed to be. You know, but this year too, I got an opportunity to signal on defense, which was great. And, you know, half the games I'm the signaler, half the games I'm the dummy. You know, it's part of the fun of that part. But, you know, it's other jobs as assigned with it. And that's the great part about it is you do what you can to help the team. It's no different than the players, and I'm not the only one. Like, you ask our staff, they wear all a lot of hats, because at the end of the day, to win, everyone has to do their part, and their part may be chopped up in 5 pieces, it may be chopped up in 20 pieces, but that starts all the way from our head coach all the way down to our equipment staff and our medical team. So, no, game day is fun, other than just making sure that our guys are hyped up as much as possible.
All right. Well, we're excited to see where things go. Josh, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it very much for the insight, and look forward to seeing what this team looks like in the fall.
Appreciate you having me, and go Yotes.
That is Josh Rosenthal. He is the general manager and the NFL liaison for Coyote football, and does a great job, honestly. Like, you should see this guy works a lot behind the scenes, does a lot of the work that nobody actually sees until, you know, the products are on the field. And the connections that he has to the NFL teams has been incredible. It's been fun to watch, and it's been fun to see that grow at the University of South Dakota as we continue to try to give our student athletes the opportunities that they've always dreamed of. You know, you never know what happens in the future, but if you can get them in the eyes of people and you can get them opportunities, then you're doing your job. There's no doubt about it. All right, time now before we wrap things up to take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Thursday night, women's basketball at home. They'll take on Oral Roberts. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off time inside the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Saturday, men's basketball home at 1 o'clock as they take on the Denver Pioneers. And it's the first home game for Summit League play for South Dakota men's basketball. Saturday, also, the women's basketball team, they'll make their trek to the Lee and Penny Anderson Arena in St. Paul, Minnesota, as they take on St. Thomas. That game is scheduled for 4 o'clock. Looking ahead to next week, we got back-to-back nights in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Wednesday night, women's basketball will take on North Dakota at 7 o'clock. And then Thursday, the men's team will take on Kansas City at 7 o'clock as well. And looking ahead to next week, tennis back in action on Friday the 16th. They'll play Mount Marty in the Huther Center in Sioux Falls. And then next Saturday in Vermilion, USD Track and Field will host the USD Alumni Meet. That's on the 17th. So lots of things coming up. And again, we're going to continue to see over the next 3 to 4 weeks all of the Coyote sports that should be in action start to get in action. And we'll be able to follow all of it here, GoYotes.com, and all of the places where you get your information for Coyote Athletics. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Big thanks to Josh Rosenthal for the time and the conversation this week as we talk transfer portal. Great stuff from him, as always. And we'll get you another episode coming up here next week. To keep up with all things Coyote Athletics, for news, schedules, stories, and more, go to GoYotes.com. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.